We're going to be looking at a subject about relationships, a relationship with Christ. And the title of this is Church or Christ. And it's going to be from Matthew 7, 21 through 23. But don't go there. We can go ahead and turn there, but we're not going to go right to it. So, but let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day, Father. And Father, some of us do like this hot weather. And some of us don't, and we complain about it, Father. So forgive us for our complaints. And Father, I just pray now that the word that you have placed in my heart, I may present it to the body as you have said, Lord, and not my words, but your words, Father. And we thank you, Father, for the words that we're about to receive, the teaching we're going to receive. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So like I said, tonight we're going to look at the subject of church or Christ. Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. You agree?
Agree.
Okay. You've also heard it said religion is man's attempt to reach God. And Christ is God reaching out to man. These are two statements. But sadly, man has taken the relationship aspect and turned it from something positive into something very unhealthy. And we'll learn this as we go on in this. These are some who have relationships with Christianity rather than Christ. And I'm kind of seeing a puzzled look on your guys' face, but I'll explain it in a moment, okay? So they have, what we're saying here is they have a relationship with the church and not with Christ. And we'll see this as we get into the study here a little bit, okay? And it'll explain things. But let me ask this question. What does a healthy church look like? Yeah? You're right.
Following the word.
Christ-centered.
Christ-centered, yeah.
This church.
This church. Okay.
That's nice.
Well, let's go look at Ephesians 1:1. We're just going to look at a few things about a healthy church, okay? A healthy church, what it looks like, what it says in the epistles, in some of them. And we're going to look at that. So Ephesians 1:1. Everyone there?
No.
Says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Who said faithful a while ago? Was that Debbie? Was that you? Yeah. See, the relationship was with Christ Jesus. They're faithful to Christ Jesus. Now, granted, the churches have problems, and these epistles that are written to the churches help the people with the churches with the problems that they have. But the relationship doesn't change. The relationship stays the same, and the relationship is with Christ Jesus. Okay? So look at verse 13 on chapter 1. Notice it says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in who?
In the Holy Spirit.
No. Wait a minute. You're missing something. Look at it again. You're sealed in who?
Christ.
Maybe I've got, yeah, Christ.
With the Holy Spirit.
But, yeah, mm-hmm. With the Holy Spirit of promise. So we're sealed in Jesus. That's our relationship with him. Okay? Look at it. Go to Philippians 1:5. Look at this. Well, I'll go back to verse 2 first. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Here's verse 5, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, from the first day that they heard the gospel, the truth, they started participating in the same things that Jesus did. The participation, there is the relationship, what I'm talking about. It's the participation, that's part of it, that relationship.
He's making it the first day. All the way.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. Yes. Mm-hmm. But you know, what I'm saying is from day one, when they heard the gospel and that changed their lives, they started participating in the things that are going with the church that are happening. And they, and we'll see some of that here in just a minute. Like over in verse 11, we see this. It says, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through who?
Jesus.
To the glory of who?
God.
God. See, there's the relationship again. The righteousness that he's talking about here comes through Jesus Christ. Not on our merit at all, not on what we do, anything like that. But it's through Jesus Christ to our Heavenly Father. Do you see that? Your wheels are turning. I hear them squeaking. So, any questions on this so far? Okay, go to Colossians 1, 4 through 8. Well, let's go back to 3. Okay, start from where it begins. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit, increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. And he goes on and he says, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Okay, let's go back to verse 4. And you see, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, when faith is produced in us is when it through that relationship that we have with Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? Yeah, it does. Yeah. So our relationship is very, very vital, and sometimes we can get off now, and I went through this years and years ago before I came to this church about the ministry that I was involved in, how more important that was month to month, that it literally took me away from the presence of Christ. And I was so involved in the ministry. There is where I was happy for a period of time. But it finally hit me right between the eyes, like what you were talking about on last Thursday. It hit me right between the eyes that there was something missing in my life and I couldn't figure it out. And then I heard the Holy Spirit whisper in my ear and say, you've walked away from Christ and you got involved in the ministry. And I did. And I didn't even know I did it. But I knew that there was something missing. And that's exactly what it was. So what do? Repent. Yeah, you have to go to repentance to get back in right standing with the Lord. So knowing this, let's get back on track about church or Christ, okay? These who have this type of relationship with Christianity rather than Christ Jesus can speak Christianese, okay? They can speak Christian. I mean, they look just like everybody else. Their clothes, their car, their home, they're at church a lot. They know the songs, are part of a group, a Bible study, and yet their relationship is with the church. And how can that be? How can that be? We know this to be true because we're going to find out. We know this to be true, but we're going to find out in Matthew, like Matthew 7, 21 through 23. But you see, the relationship is with the church, and they do all these things. It's just like having a steady job. Let's put it that way. It's like having a steady job and not knowing Christ. It's like that. So in Matthew 7, Jesus says this, 21 through 23. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. These are the people I call, and I could have called myself that at one time. Okay? These people they say, did we not? I don't know what your version says. It may say something just a little bit different, but mine says, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So here we see a group of people. Well, first let's go back to verse 15. Jesus gives a warning. Okay? He says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. By their fruits, grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So we see this group of people and what they're doing and things like that, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. But still yet, these things are taking place. Why is that? How come they had to have a relationship with Jesus to be able to do these things, wouldn't you think? Well, is it possible to have faith and not know Jesus? It is. Sad to say, it is. We had that kind of faith before we came to Jesus. Before we come to know Jesus, we had that kind of faith. In some form, we did.
Mm-hmm. What if a person put more faith in themselves
uh-huh.
than in God?
And what they have and what they see? Yeah. Faith, yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. But in 1 John 2, it says this, 2:3-6, says, by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And who is the truth?
Jesus.
The truth is not in him. Okay? But whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Isn't that beautiful? We can know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought also to walk in the same manner as he walked. So we know that we know that we have the right relationship if we keep his commandments. Okay? Once we get out of that or get away from it, and we get into the back into the flesh part of it, the very first thing that we do is we start finding fault. That's one of the first things that Satan will point out once you get away from the presence of the Lord. He'll start pointing that out and find faults. In the church is where he'll look. And it'll continue, and you'll find fault with your neighbors. You'll find fault in the structure on how God has created everything. You'll find fault in that, and it just continues and continues and continues. So, like I said, let's go back to where the question I asked was, how can these people do these kind of things and not know Jesus? So let's take a look at that. Go to Mark 6:7-13. Now look at this very carefully as we read it, okay? Verse 7 through 13. And he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. And he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals. And he added, do not put on two tunics. And he said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. And any place that does not receive you or listen to you as you go out, from there, shake the dust off your soles and your feet and off your feet for a testimony against them. They went out and preached that men should repent, and they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. So we see that Jesus is the one that gives the authority to do these things. But these people here were doing them according to what they were saying. Right? They were doing these things. But it is Christ who gives the authority. So like I was saying, it's Jesus that gives the authority to be able to do these things, we think. And there I see some questions on your face. But yeah, he does. He gives authority to anyone who does that kind of stuff. Well, do you remember during the Last Supper, Jesus told them that one of them would betray him? Do you remember that? In John 6:70? Says Jesus answered them, "Did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" That's what Jesus said. Now you would think that the disciples would know who it was. They spent all this time together. They did these wonderful miracles together as Jesus sent them out. Even Judas did the miracles. But not one of them stood up and said, "It was Judas." They didn't say that. They couldn't, you know, they would go on and say that he couldn't do any miracle when you sent us out. They didn't say anything like that. All they did, they all did the same miracles. What was Judas's relationship? You see the relationship? What was it? What was his relationship? It wasn't with Jesus, even though he walked with Jesus and had ministry with Jesus.
He carried the money belt.
Yeah, he carried the money belt. Mm-hmm, and he pilfered from it. What was what his relationship was with the other disciples instead of Christ, instead of Jesus Christ? That's where his relationship was at. So their relationship was with Christ, Jesus, is in the line it's in the same line of having a relationship just with the church and Christian activities and other Christians. This is why a sound doctrine is so important in our lives. Now, getting back to why these people said these things to Jesus, go back to Mark, where they said, "Did we not do these things?" We see something very, very interesting. Was it in Mark where I was at? Okay, Mark 6, 7 through 13. Okay, no, that's some of the 12. No, it's in Matthew. I'm sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Notice what they're saying here says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?'" You kind of see a little competition. You see what I'm saying? Some were prophesying in Jesus' name, but didn't have the relationship with Jesus. But they prophesied, and you could see some bragging. This is what I got out. You see some bragging going on. I did this. This was me patting themselves on the back. "And in your name, we cast out demons. And in your name, we perform many miracles." So there, you see the bragging aspect of it. Each one of them, as they spoke, it was a bragging thing. And there was no relationship.
They were pointing themselves back to themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. The finger went, says we. Didn't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah. No relationship with Christ. Not giving any glory to him at all in his abilities. So we got our doctrine, like I said, has got to be very, very good. Because it's easy to fall into that, to pat yourself on the back. And to walk around with that proud look on your face of the things that you've done in the church, and not doing it as the Lord leads, or walking with the Lord. And it's a whole different aspect when you're walking with the Lord. And I know you can attest to this. You don't make any mistakes. It's perfect. in that area when you're with the Lord. Mistakes don't happen. You're humped. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful, beautiful relationship too. So like I said, of course we want, you know, we want to come to our church and we want to do whatever we can to make our church a light in the neighborhood. And we want that, and we desire that Christian activity, being with one another. We enjoy that. And that's very, very important too. And we want to know about one another so we can help one another. That's vital in a church, to be able to help your brothers and sisters when they're going through really difficult and tough times. This is why we need a sound doctrine. You know, we're responsible for the word in us, which is Jesus Christ. He is the word, and he's in us, according to the scriptures I'm reading, and according to what you've read too, that Jesus Christ is in us, the hope of glory. So, but we're responsible. You know, Pastor, you touched on something a couple of weeks ago, and it was found in Matthew 12. About a spirit being cast out of a man. Mm-hmm. And where he goes and what happens. Let me go back and look at that real quick.
43.
Yeah, 43 through 45.
Is that Matthew?
Matthew 12:43-45.
Now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will also be with this evil generation. But what's missing? What's missing in here? What don't you see? What Jesus is talking about? It's what we're talking about, the relationship. You don't see this man, the relationship with Christ Jesus, yeah.
You're not filling the void with Christ.
Mm-mm. Wasn't there a leper or some lepers that after they were healed?
The Samaritan one was Samaritan.
Yeah, that one too.
There was 10 of them, and they went out and Jesus healed them, and they all, when they saw the healed one, come back, and he was a Samaritan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we see Christ is missing in this, even though the spirit was cast out of him. You would think there would be a relationship here, but I don't see it. I don't see a relationship. Now, Ezekiel, unbelievable. If you read Ezekiel 3, Bob, I know you love to read Ezekiel. Just turn over there. Look at the responsibility that Ezekiel had. Ezekiel 3? You got it marked? You probably already read it, huh? 43 through 45? Is that what I... No, that's not what I... That's wrong. 1 through 4.
3?
Yeah, Ezekiel 3, 1 through 4.
Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll. Speak to the house of Israel.
Or do you want to go? Oh, keep going. Oh, yeah. All the way through 10.
Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel.
Yeah.
Not too many people in familiar speech Israel or in Judah. Their foreheads.
Hard heads. Yeah. Ezekiel had a big responsibility after receiving the word. And we do too.
You know, intellectually, you can know the Bible inside out, but if your heart's not there, then
no. You're right.
Just knowledge.
Right? Yeah. Just have head knowledge. That's it.
Yeah.
And usually your head will tell you, go lay down on the couch.
That happens a lot.
What's that?
That happens a lot.
Oh, that happens a lot, yeah. Put your feet up. Watch TV. And your neighbor's dying right next door to you. So that's the lesson I wanted to bring to you tonight. I hope you receive something out of it. You're going to talk about the... we got prayer requests. I forgot about that, too.
Talk about what?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I thought you were handing out something else. Sorry. So keep your relationship fresh and strong with the Lord. That's the encouragement I have for you.